Blog Talk Radio.
Phone.
Sex.
Phone sex? I'm girl 7.
How can I please you?
How do you like it?
Fantasies.
Girl 6 and my love.
Talking
caller and talk about some positive thing that's going on. Now, the call-in number for the show tonight is 347-857-4192. And if you want to go to the web, maybe go to www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Wave Production. And if you just want to check, that's just here in the show. Now, if you feel like you want to email the show, you go to talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. Or you feel like you want to tweet us, or you want to tweet the show, you can tweet us at talkingsportsplus@ @LorenzaBSmith, @Coach_L_Smith, @TremaineEdwards7, @ElliotGarrell1. That's how you can tweet the show. So that way they're communicating with us, and we're so glad that we'll have you want to do that. So we look forward to having you call in and be a part of. Now, when you want to be a part, you want to offer your comments, your questions, or your expertise, use the call-in number. Call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1. I will identify you as the last 4 digits of your cell or your telephone number. Then I will ask you to give us your name, your location, and just join in the conversation. If you got ways of contacting us, or if you want to be a part of it, you have that opportunity. So let's use that chat line to call in and share your thoughts. Now, the co-host, my co-host right now, I don't see anybody on the line. Let me tell you, we're strictly remote. I'm the only one in the studio. I'm sitting up. I have everything. I'm working. I'm the producer as well as the host and all the other things that goes along with promoting the great production company. We're so glad to have this chance to bring these vessels. Now, we're actually functioning in 3 different ways tonight. We're going to be Blog Talk Radio. I just mentioned the web link to call in on, the call-in number and the web link, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Wave Production. Also, we're all on Instagram, and that's Coach Dr. Lorenza D. Smith. 15. Check us out on Instagram and also on Facebook. You have Facebook.com, and I have to give it for those individuals that's on blog as well as those ones that are on Instagram. That's Facebook.com/Dr, which is Dr. L. D. Alberto Smith. So you got ways of contacting us, so take advantage of the opportunity. If you're not comfortable with just being on a Blog Talk Radio, go to Facebook, or you can check us out on Instagram, or just listen to it through the web link. We got ways, but you want to be a part of, you can be a part of. So let's kind of look at what we're going to do tonight. And I'm going to introduce my co-host as they slowly call in. And I look forward for them to calling in any second, any minute. Now, you know, at least one or two of them, I know one for sure, well, actually two of them that won't be calling in until later. Coach Tony Stallworth, and I'll make sure I go and introduce Coach Tony Stallworth. He's the only touchdown Tony. He'll be calling in around about 8:30, and he'll come in with our high school action. He's our resident high school expert. That's Coach Tony Stallworth. And we also have Darrell E. Train Elliott. He's the Don King of all things. He's the conductor of the E. Train. He's our radio personality. At the same time, we're on. He's working on his own radio show. He had it. So he's doing 2 things, juggling at one time. Sometimes he wakes at 9. Sometimes he can come early. But he's working with us, and he's joining us as a co-host as well. We also have the millennium, our young lady. I know she's been grinding today. She's over at one of the middle schools working hard. I'll give a shout-out. I'm going to say Goodwin Middle School in Montgomery, Alabama. She's working over there. I know she has the days are challenging. So we look forward to if she's able to get up. She wasn't feeling good. She on Facebook. She wasn't feeling good. So we look forward to having her name is Coach Lauren D. Smith. And Tremaine Edwards, the king. He's up there in North Alabama, Huntsville, Alabama. He's joining us. So those individuals, as they begin to call in by remote, and I'll get them to talk more with them and let them share some things with you as we discuss some of these major topics here. All right, our title for the show is Week 3. We love some football. We can get a hand, throw your hands up in the air if you love some football, no matter where you are. I see several people, and I cannot identify where they are from because they're on the show so often in some form, but I give them a shout at the end. I hope I don't lose you tonight. Last night we had a techno problem with our network, and we lost our Facebook. But we don't plan on losing tonight. Actually, let me flip around. We lost Facebook earlier, but last night we lost, in essence, the Blog Talk Radio because of the network phone went out. So we look forward to having an awesome time. Let me wet my whistle and wet my throat right now. So we talk football. We love some football. That's what it's all about. Now, in our historical black colleges and universities, HBCU's spotlight, we're going to focus on one particular game I can give you firsthand because I was there. The post-Labor Day Classic held in Montgomery, Alabama at Alabama State University. The game was between Alabama State University and Tuskegee University. The football game was played at kickoff at 5 o'clock. They had a lot of pageantry going on. They tailgated, had they say up to 100,000 people was on that campus, walking around, checking out everything that was going on. In the centers, they had over 27, right at 28,000 individuals in the stadium cheering for either Tuskegee or cheering for Alabama State. Now, let's kind of go back in history. Alabama State and Tuskegee University have been playing on Thanksgiving for over 76 years, or they decided to kind of back it off a little bit. Now they move it to the Labor Day Classic. Labor Day weekend. Now, it was not actually Labor Day weekend because they had a game scheduled with the University of Alabama Birmingham on the Thursday for Labor Day, so they pushed back to make it the post-Labor Day Classic. However, it was outstanding. It was extremely hot out there. I think the temp got up to 100 degrees throughout the day, and the heat index was pressing at 110. I know I felt it because while I was there setting up tailgate, like my son, that drained all the energy out of me. And we did have lost time. We had an old school reunion, a 5-day signal, and Beta Phi Beta sorority. We had old school, all the brothers from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and 90s came, sisters as well. They was walking through, checking it out, giving a shout out for it. So we were excited about having the opportunity just to be able to do that. So it was good to be able to, it was festive. On Friday night, we had an old student party at the Brand's Wing out there. DJ Ops, a member of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity, was the DJ on the spin, turntable, however you want to call it. We had a good crowd. They strolled, they stepped, they did all the good old things. So we're glad. It was an awesome weekend. They also had a couple concerts going on. I attended the Anthony Hamilton concert. I posted on Facebook. So glad, because it was a gift, a pre-birthday gift for me from my sister, Jennifer Edwards. She's on the line. I know she's online. I can see her number. She's often in support on Facebook as well. So it was good. It was Anthony Hamilton, and it was outstanding. You had Dougie Fresh. You had Jagged Edge, and you had also SWB. So you had those four individuals. Over at the Performing Arts Center, you had Tucker and had more or less a blues concert that was going on over there. So it was like an outstanding weekend. And then on Thursday, they had Alabama State University President Gala that was down at the Renaissance. So that was awesome as well. The foundation was able to bring money in to get students scholarships and get them to school. You know, this is great. It was a great time. So it's a festive, real festive occasion. So if you wasn't there, make sure you plan on coming because it will be back on Labor Day next year. All right, let's look at how the game went. Alabama State University was very successful in winning the ball game. It was a close game. A lot of fireworks, meaning that the ball was thrown around a lot. You had some long touchdown throws on both sides. And it was just hot, but those players played at a high level. The winner of the game was Alabama State University. That's two in a row. The final score was 38-31. To make sure I get that right because the game was tied up. Still was outstanding. I'm telling you, it's a little warm. I got closer to the end. The last 2 minutes, I was definitely go outside to finish up with the tailgate because the game ended right at about 8:30 or so. So it was a good time to still continue the tailgate, watch the television outside as well. So It was an outstanding weekend. And again, it was an outstanding game. Well attended. We always say our motto is put your meat in the seat. Sit down, find your seat, buy a ticket, enjoy the game. Now, like I said, right about 28,000 individuals spent their money to be there and be a part of it. So we're so glad that you took time to be here for the post Labor Day Classic. It was festive. It was really all week. It started on Sunday. There was a gospel concert all the way up to a pep rally. Then they had a food drive. They had clothing drive. They had a lot of things going on during the week. So it was outstanding. It was buzzing on the campus of Alabama State University, and we were so glad. I worked over there as one of their professors over there in the history department, and it's exciting to be able to have that kind of energy around the campus. So they won. Now they have a big game coming up this weekend against Kennesaw State. Kennesaw State managed to make it to the second or third round of the FCS football championship subdivision, which is under the FBA, which is football bowl subdivision. So played Kennesaw. It's their third year playing. Maybe their fourth year playing Kennesaw. So they haven't been fortunate, but we're so happy to have them to come to our stadium. They came the first 2 years, and we went to them last year. Now they're coming back. So that keeps everything going. We're so glad to have those individuals who want to come to Alabama State University, state of the art stadium. And we're applauding for the Alabama State University Stadium, something nice to go to and play some outstanding football. So we look forward to being an awesome game on Saturday as well at 5 o'clock Central Standard Time, 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. It is Community Service Day, because Alabama State is a community university. So they work together with the community. That's what they're talking about. The university works hand in hand. So they have each organization that's interested in coming to the game. You want to bring a group with you, just give a call over to the ticket office or to Travis Jerome. Give him a call, and if not, email the information, registration, and you can get up to 50 tickets to bring your crew, your church, or whatever, your organization to their youth group, social group, whatever it may be. You can come and be a part of the game on Saturday at 5 o'clock Central Standard Time. So it's going to be an outstanding game. Kennesaw State and Alabama State University. Alabama State is 1-1. They lost their first game to UAB, University of Alabama at Birmingham, which is a Division One team, and it was outstanding. They lost 24-19, lost the last few seconds. They were down on the 1 yard line, 4 downs, unable to punch it in. That's Alabama State University. So the final score was 24-19. So they gave them a capable scoring some points. I'm telling you, because in this game between Tuskegee, and I'm still talking about it, is that Michael Jefferson, one of the players mentioned as player of the week, a wide receiver, caught 3 touchdowns, 76 yards, 50-some yards, and another 40-some yard long pass that was caught by him. And he was featured on SportsCenter, and I'm sorry, they show the college scoreboard that comes on after college football, and they give a helmet sticker. So they did put a helmet sticker there for Alabama State University and Michael Jefferson with 3 touchdowns. So we applaud his effort as well as the quarterback Davis, who managed to get the ball in the line. And everything had to work to make sure that play, because I was sitting there and it was over 75 yard pass that was thrown. He beat the defense and sprinted into the end zone. So it was an outstanding game. It was quite a ending to the post Labor Day Classic. Now, also, I wanted to share some thoughts about Alabama A&M. Alabama A&M plays in the SWAC, which is the Eastern Division of the SWAC. They played Arkansas Pine Bluff. The reason I bring that game up, it is not any more games to even kind of talk about. The game was brought up because Alabama A&M was looking real good. They beat Morehouse in the Classic in Canton, Ohio. So they was looking real good, and they won it late in the game against Morehouse. This game, the gap behind, it was up 14-0, gap behind 31-14, final score was 38-31, something like that. Arkansas Pine Bluff won the game, and it kind of put A&M in a hole because that was a home game. We always say win all your home games and try to split most of your games on the road. So that puts them in a hole, and they got to fight out of that hole from this point on. So we look forward to kind of see how that is, that's going to affect the results in the finals, quarterfinals of the Eastern Conference. They got many more games to go. They have seven more games to go in the conference. However, but you can't afford to drop one at home. You have to win all of them at home. So that's why we want to talk about that game, because it could affect your standing in the end when we talk about who's going to go to the SWAC championship. So they take a champion from the East, a champion from the West, and play in the championship game at the home. The team that has the best record stated, Southwest Athletic Conference. And that's what we're talking about right there. We're talking about Southwest Athletic Conference. Not that we're omitting the BAC or the SIAC. SIAC is represented a week before at Morehouse against Alabama A&M, and this past week with Tuskegee versus Alabama State. So that's the standing in regards to making sure the job is done and be successful. That's what it's all about. Also, we want to look at some players that were spotlighted. We're talking about the historical black colleges and universities now. Some players that were spotlighted, I already mentioned Michael Jefferson from Alabama State University, Mississippi State Valley University. Tracy Thompson represented well in the SWAC. UAPB, which is University of Arkansas, I Pine Bluff, who beat Alabama A&M, Josh Kowalski, and Harry Ballard, which is special. All these players were selected as the SWAC Football Players of the Week. So we applaud each and every one of them. As we move forward, we're going to kind of make sure you can be a part of the call-in number 347-857-4192. You know, I'm leaning over because I have a lot of people on Facebook that's coming up and they're waving. And I'm waving back to them, and I appreciate each and every one of you all joining me and being a part of it. All right, we're going to look at the coaches' corner. We're talking about what's going on a Division I level, Division II level, whatever it may be. So we're really excited about what's going on. I appreciate I'm looking up because one of my frat brothers out of Atlanta, he had this show called Slam, Sex, Love, and a couple of things go with those acronyms called Slam. And he has a 30-minute to an hour show out of Atlanta. We have a live show on Facebook, and he's just sending me some things and letting me know because we support one another. And that's Dr. Todd Mahomby. He's up in Atlanta, and he has a show called Slam, and he's on at this time while we're on that. And yes, I'm recognizing because we're grinding, we're going to grind this thing together. All right, the coach's corner. And I'm hoping some of my staff or my team members will join me in a few minutes, so I won't have to be swallowing so much water and staring myself here and see exactly what's going on. All right. LSU played Texas on our coaches' corner. And LSU beat Texas 45-38. Some people believe they should be ranked higher than number two Alabama. You know, our thoughts is the same. It could be because they're playing a little tougher schedule at the beginning of the year. That's one of the things that I think that hurt Alabama last year. They play some of these teams that they blow out, don't get full workout, and they do it for so many times, players get complacent, and then you get in a game like Clemson and get blown out by 24 last year. Hopefully that's not the problem this year, but should LSU be ranked ahead of Alabama because they beat Texas and they really both teams played real well. LSU looked real good. Quarterback Joe Burrow, he threw for over 407 yards, 31 of 27. That's an outstanding performance. And we're going to talk about should he be vaulted into that number in that top five for the Heisman as well. So we're going to talk about, but it was an outstanding game. But should LSU be ranked higher? Be ranked higher than Alabama. They ranked number two because they had played a little better schedule in regards to playing Texas A&M, which is the team, or one of the teams Alabama have to play in the West of the Southeast Conference. So that's the talk. We're going to find out what's your thought on it. And the call in number again is 347-857-4192. Press 1. I identify you as the last four digits of your cell or telephone number and ask you to join us with your name, your location, your comments, your questions, or your expertise. Let's move to the next topic we have. Should Joe Burrow, LSU, as you move down to State University, quarterback Joe Burrow be in the Heisman conversation after week two? And I say yes, because his performance is at a high level. You know, and right now, it looks like the race is really, for some people, it's there between Jalen Hurts, who's at Oklahoma. Everybody knows Jalen Hurts, transferred from the University of Alabama, because he did lose his starting position to Tua Tagovailoa. And he, over at Oklahoma, putting up almost 800 yards of offense in his first two games. So he has vaulted to the top. His percentage in the betting world is 3-1 up. And we have Tua, who actually said number three, Tua Tagovailoa, and number two is Trevor Lawrence. Some people are backing off Trevor because Trevor hadn't played anybody where they could be real successful. So you got a situation here that you have Jalen Hurts, who's out front, who was not even thought that he would have a chance to do that. So that tells you right now, maybe Alabama was not pushing the right button with him. And by pushing the right button, means that you were able to get that situation going and get him where he can throw the ball like he needs to, and they're doing it at Oklahoma. Regardless of how he managed to get to the spot, he's at the point he has balled to the top of the Heisman race. And we'll give him the right shout, we'll give him the right thing that's going on, and we'll tell him, we're ready to keep grinding. That's just week two. Like I say, he has over 800 some yard total offense. That's the most in second most in the history of NCAA football. So he's at the top 3-1-R. Trevor Lawrence from Clemson is at the top at number 2, 3-1-R. And from the University of Alabama, you have Tua Tagovailoa. He's at 3-1-R. Now, Joe Burrow is having such a great performance. Some people are pushing him up there fourth or fifth. Some people say he should be higher, but fourth or fifth, and you have him working at that fourth or fifth slot right there. So we'll see how that turns out. But there's several other players that join you. You have a couple of receivers, have running backs to kind of grind and getting there. So we're looking at that. And should he be up there, we're going to say right now with his performance, he should be in the top four. So we look forward to see how that's going to go. Also, we're going to want to talk a little bit about do LSU have a chance to beat Alabama when they play them in November? LSU is putting up some strong yards on offense. Seems like that's been their problem in the past. When they got a chance to play Alabama, they couldn't muster enough offense to beat Alabama. But some people say they have a chance this year. Tell me what your thoughts are. Do you feel like they have a chance to beat Alabama? Call in number 347-857-4192. Press 1. I'll identify you the last four digits of your cell or your telephone number. Then I'll ask you to give your name and your location. Then we want your expertise. We want your questions. We want your comments. So give us a call. Hopefully the team comes, God name him, very soon. If I need him to come in and be a part of this. Right now we're at the 8:28 hour, so we're looking for them to call in as soon as possible. All right, let's really talk about the LSU. Do they have a chance to beat Alabama? They'll be playing that game in Alabama at the University of Alabama, the campus Bryant-Denny State. Do they have a chance? I know they have a chance because if they can suit up a football team and go there, they have a chance. But realistically, do you think they can beat Alabama? There's too many weapons that the University of Alabama has. They have at least 5, 6, 7 receivers can run circles around 1 or 2, 3 receivers that Joe Burrow is throwing to. Tua has a bouquet of receivers to throw to. It's falling out from everywhere. They're jumping out from everywhere. They have players who throw a swing pass behind the line of center and take up a 70-80 yard with the speed that is just bringing excitement. So do LSU have a chance to beat Alabama? So we're looking forward to see whether they can do it or not. We want to see. In November, we'll get a chance to see. And it normally comes around about the second Saturday in November. So we should be ready for that game. We're talking about it now because both teams are playing at a high level. Alabama is ranked number 2. LSU is ranked number 4. All right, we want to move to Tennessee. Tennessee Coke Stadium. That is Tennessee is like Tennessee football team is like thinking of the Titanic. That's what it says. Tennessee is thinking like the Titanic. That's what it says. You got players just ripped off school, trying to transfer to other schools. Players saying they're not going to play anymore, not for Tennessee. They're trying to do other things. There's so much is going on at the University of Tennessee, so we have to make sure we recognize that the University of Tennessee, with Jerry McFruitt, is struggling. They're going to have to get it together. Everybody said it's his second year. I think they won five ball games last year in the SEC. Might be five total. So they look for a better year, but they just don't have those athletes yet. Are they going to give them a chance? They're going to give them the 5 years to do it. It's the second year. It's hard to believe those fans and supporters of the University of Tennessee are going to give much more, allow much room for any more failure because they manipulated it when they had the interview. They elected a coach. They didn't want that coach. And athletic director was forced to resign. The president resigned. Everybody resigned. They got who they want here. They brought Pruitt in. So, former brought Jeremy Pruitt in from the University of Alabama, and it's a challenge. This is the second year, and it looks like it's not getting any better. So, is it thinking like the Titanic? It's not possible that you can throw a life preserver forward because they're sinking too fast. So, we'll keep an eye on the Tennessee situation. I really, really believe that this situation is going to get really worse before it gets better because they just don't have an athlete to compete in the SEC like they used to in the 90s. All right, we're going to kind of look at Florida State now. I'll tell you, Florida State is struggling. Yes, they won last weekend, but let's think about the situation. They hired Willie Taggart. Willie Taggart, South Florida to Oregon, now back to Florida State. You know, he's been hired. Last year, they did very well. I had a quarterback controversy. They invented Francois left and went up to Hampton University, and he's left with Blackman. And it looks like that's a big challenge now. They play decent defense, but it's not good enough to win the ball games they need to win. So you're dealing with a real serious situation right here. So they won't fire Willie Taggart after 2 years. Just keep an eye for that because they're known to give people their walking paper, force them to reside with a good vibe so you can get them out there and get the coach you want to have in there. You got to remember, they just removed about 5 years from winning a national championship with Jameis Winston. So they won a national championship. So he offered that championship game. So I think it's 2013. So they just removed from that. That's 6 years now. So they don't want to see their program at the bottom of the barrel of the ACC because that's where they look like they're going. So are they going to do something to adjust this situation in the coaching room? We can keep an eye out. I believe there's going to be some things going to be happening in the next. If there's not a better performance out of that team and the coaching staff, there will be some changes coming up, probably about a 6 or 7 game. People say, why are you steady? I said it because they don't want to continue. It's a trial program. They don't want to drop. And if they drop, they won't be able to have somebody lift them back up. And just, right now, they don't believe Willie Taggart is capable of doing the head football coach. So we'll keep an eye on that situation, and we'll make sure we just let you know and keep you informed. Now, again, you can be a part of the show. That's 347-857-4192. If you want to just have some words of expertise, you want to share with us, words of wisdom, it'll be fine. On a hump day, which is one for Wednesday, you can do that. Just press 1 and I'll identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number and actually tell us who you are, your location, and exactly what's your comment. Tell us your comment. Tell us your action question. Tell us your expertise. Sorry. All right, next topic we're going to look at in our coach's corner, and it's something I want to do, it's a prediction we want to do, but we'll kind of move away. But I want to get your thoughts on this. The breaking news that came out today was in regards to Antonio Brown, AB. We had heard all the answers that that went on for the last week, the last 2 weeks, the last 2 months in regards, started off with the prior machine where he went in with some wet stock and his, you know, soft bit and Ken was spelling off the street there. I had that offer in the news and everything. He couldn't practice with the Oakland Raiders. They gave him $30 million guarantee, right? Then he decided he was going to question his helmet. He wanted to wear the helmet he had always worn for the last 9 years. And some people got to realize some of these guys bring their college helmet with them, the helmet that fits comfortable with them. But any helmet over 10 years old cannot be used. There's almost 30 new helmets he could use. He didn't want to. He wanted his own helmet. So he then practiced, raised a big fit about that. He ended up getting with Bike to create another helmet to fit his head like he would be comfortable with, state-of-the-art helmet, so he's not going to be representing them and not promoting them. All right, then he got upset with the general manager, Mike Mayock, and they went into a confrontation on the field and even used a racist claim toward that individual. So eventually, in response to his behavior, the general manager wrote a letter that fined him for missing practice, saying that you had missed practice for $54,000. Fines, he didn't like it. He decided to post the letter on Instagram. And that got it going pretty good like that. That's when the Raiders realized it's time they need to cut ties with this young man because this young man is creating behavior. But some people say it was some sort of plan there. That was some plan, you know, there was some plan he had to get out of Oakland. Because after they sent the letter to find him, he posted, then he had a meeting with the head coach. And after John Gruden met with him, illegally taped his conversation. State that requires you to let another individual know you're taping them, it is a law. It's not admissible in court that you can't use that, but he put it and posted it on Instagram as well. So that led them to let him go. So he ended up being released on Saturday morning. By Saturday afternoon, the Patriots had worked there with New England Patriots to get him. Everybody said they got a stellar organization. They always gave him change. But do you think he'd be changed? Let me know, 347-857-4192. Or it's just going to be the same old, same old AB. All right, so we think the drama is over with. The drama is not over. So here we have a situation with a young lady who is his fitness trainer, Brittany Taylor. She filed a lawsuit in the Southern District Court down in Florida suing Antonio Brown for sexual assault. And that's been the talk all day. And as whether he said he's not guilty, he said that she's just looking for $75,000. She's also one of the reasons she had to meet with the NFL so they can investigate it this week. This week she's getting married this week. So she's going to meet with her next week to tell the story. There's so much stuff out there. So some people think that with all these answers, all this crazy stuff that's going on, Antonio Brown, maybe he's just creating a problem for himself. And I'm kind of sorry, my people looking at the wall has hit the button and turned to the side. But I'm back with you. I'm with you as well. So we want you to share your thoughts on it. We'll leave it open to you to come a little later and talk about it because we truly have about 21 minutes. And hopefully the high school expert will give us a call and share some thoughts about high school. I was trying to work with it and give some time before I start talking about high school. Now, what's your thoughts on AP? Enough is enough. I had heard a couple things that I was offended when they said it, and it was done by a talking head of Ponder when he said that AB needs to shut up and just play football. I heard that before. I think they told LeBron the same thing. Shut up and just dribble the ball. Dribble the ball. So in essence, that's just something that needs to be addressed. It needs to be played. People talk and punish and say what they want. Anybody else, if someone that else had said it, It'll be a whole lot of talk about why you're telling somebody to shut up and just dribble ball. Shut up, and it was addressed. LeBron did address, as well as shut up and AD and just play ball. You don't tell him. But then, I don't know if it's a slip of word by one of the hosts of the Sports Center today at 12 o'clock noon, that lasted from 12 to 1, I believe. He was interviewing Marcus Spears, and he said that at the question, and the question was, you'll be all right if you have a racist in your locker room. I don't hear anything. It's an accusation. He's been accused of something. That don't mean he's done. You got to be innocent to prove guilty. Public opinion shouldn't always do that to him. So maybe that host may have to have a discussion with somebody about that, because he made that statement. He didn't say alleged. He said racist. And there's nothing being proven. So we have to address this. We don't ever want to get into the race. Not going to use the race card at no point, but we got to understand that you have to be careful at accusing somebody of something, and you're just trying to get the lead. You're interviewing somebody that's going to offer their thoughts of how the team will react if you make that statement. Mistake or not, we all have to pay the consequences because a lot of things have happened. All right, let's look at our week three picks. We have three games that we select that we want to make a pick on. So I'll make a pick, and when the team members come in here, and hopefully they come in the next 19 minutes, we're going to be wrapping it up anyway. But we have Florida versus Kentucky. My pick will be Florida. Kentucky lost their quarterback, Terry Harris, I believe. He's the quarterback, outstanding quarterback for Kentucky. And they have a freshman coming in and he's playing Florida this weekend. And it's a highlight game, so I'm selecting Florida to win that game by one touchdown. Clemson and Syracuse. This has been a torn and Clemson side for the last 2 or 3 years. 2 years ago, they lost to Syracuse. Last year, it was at a point they could have lost the game, but they didn't lose the game. So, as we look at this situation, we're going to select Clemson again. They're ranked number one, and I just don't think Syracuse has enough to beat them. So, I don't look to see Syracuse upset Clemson. So, we're picking Clemson as well. Then we have Alabama traveling to South Carolina, the number two team traveling to the state of South Carolina, playing at 11 o'clock. Now, there's been some discussion from the university, the athletic director, and the president, as well as Nick Saban, talking about all the hurting games that Alabama has to play. The thing about it, you think last week they played at 3 o'clock. Now, I attended the game over at the post-Labor Day class, and at 5 o'clock, it was hot. I can tell you, at 3 o'clock, 3:30, it was blistering. And if you played football before, and I'll say if you played the game, you're fully geared up in the daytime at 3 o'clock. That's why we don't practice, so we move the time around, move the schedule around, and it's 100 degrees. And it was in Alabama, especially in the central part of the state, those fellows were on fire. And I'm telling you, that's not a good place to have anybody. I've been in a situation where I've been fully uniformed, playing the game, and I know several people that's listening have, and they can tell you, they can attest that that's not a good situation to be playing that kind of work. Then you come back and it's still going to be warm, 90-some degrees. The weekend, you're playing at now 11 o'clock, which will be in actuality 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. At the mid-time of the day, come on now, guys. That doesn't make any sense. You know, it ain't about the university. It's all about the young people that's playing for them. That's something that's been addressed. It's been said. And even there was a statement made from the other coach in the state of Alabama at Auburn. Gus Malzahn said, well, he was glad to play 11 o'clock. Probably so. He probably might need to play 11 o'clock. But you don't want to put your kids out there. Because your day is set. It's changed because it means your kids got to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm beginning to get some poor connection problems here. I tell you, boy, I tell you. We're fighting. We're trying hard, trying to make it through the night. I don't know what's going on with this, the system, but it just might be the connection. And we have a lot of things happening. All right, let's kind of move to the high school. And I'm sorry, I did not select. I picked Alabama to win that game between South Carolina. All right, let's look at the high school storyline. I know we have several teams that played well. We want to give a shout out to Robert E. Lee High School. We also want to give a shout out to Central Tennessee, as well as Cooper and several other students that are playing at a high level right now, Greenville High School. We want to give a shout out. They had great performances this year, so we want to talk about them in week two. And they just had an awesome weekend. There are some teams up in North Alabama played very well as well. Resident individual up there, and he has made it on. Yeah, it would be nice to get him on. As Coach Edwards, he can share some thoughts about some of his middle school team. And actually, they played it. I don't know. I thought it was on Tuesday, and they played on Thursday. I'm not sure. I just saw him play it on tonight, which is Wednesday. So we'll kind of see. He'll give us a report. If you don't get it this week, then give it to us next week. So we look forward. I have a comment. I want to share this with this comment. Saying this for one of my former players down at McKenzie School, Kathy Peterson, for Peterson. He said, it's rough playing in the heat. And I know he played for 5 or 6 years when I was down there. I remember those long, hot practices. He said he remembered during the time he was at McKenzie. So he knew about it when I was down there coaching. So I appreciate it, Tori. I appreciate you let our listeners know, let them know on Facebook that you went through those hot practices. It was a challenge, but it was good to be able to work with those young men down at McKenzie, Alabama. Also, we want to move to a invention. Oh, before I talk about this Alabama invention that's going to revolutionize helmets and cut back on injuries, neck injuries, and head injuries, I want to talk about a game that was played between two local teams, and one has been stored. Both of them are stored home, but they hit on different part times. And we have Jefferson Davis High School has really hit on hard times. They were really heading to the woods, and they were back around pretty good. So they actually lost to Robert E. Lee, another story program in the high school in Central Alabama. Right about 59-3, so that was so embarrassing. And that's a area loss for Jefferson Davis High School. So you can't afford to lose area games because you have a tough schedule in that area. If you're 7A, you have Central Phoenix City, you have Auburn, and you have several other schools that you got to play at your high level and win all those ball games. And it's a big challenge. It's a big challenge. So we got to say, as a matter of fact, I'm not trying to think Fireball, a couple other teams in there. So they must keep their winning ways and move forward. And with this loss, it doesn't spare anything positive for Jefferson Davis High School. Now you have a coach that could be possibly on the hot seat again. We'll try to kind of see what's going to be. It'll be fourth year, fifth year, only winning possibly 4 or 5. Things may change. When I saw them the first game, I actually went to the first game and saw them play. And I saw so many mistakes being made. I attribute to the weather. I attribute to just first game jitters and everything. But to go out and play that way on last Friday night, it was really, really not good. So we'll look forward to seeing things change and hopefully change for Jefferson Davis High School in Montgomery, Alabama. And we tell Lee, keep on grinding at Robert E. Lee High School in Montgomery in that area of 7A football. In that area over there with Central Tennessee, number 3 ranked team. They have moved to number 2 in class 7. We also want to look at the invention that occurred in Jefferson County. Had one of the lawyers invented more or less a training and might limit head injuries. This is something we have to be concerned. Having the best head gear on your head is what you can ask for, but you also have to teach and train our young people not to lean forward when they're trying to tackle or get their head too far back, and don't, like I used to tell them, stick it down in your shoulder pad. That way you can keep your head immobilized and you can take shots, be hit, and move forward. But this is something that's going to be attached to the back of your helmet, goes down to your shoulder pads, and it sends a signal. Signal to that head here that your head is too far back, your head is too low and too far forward, and it'll help you to avoid major head injuries. So this is something special. You can read about it. Go to the AL.com, and it's there. You can read about that article. I just want to kind of bring it up and share some thoughts about it and just say it's something that's revolutionized dealing with possibly limiting head injuries, as well as avoiding some of the other situations that may occur, when you're out there playing football and sometimes the head is struck in some form of fashion. And, you know, we're just struggling tonight. I'm just telling you, we're just having a hard time with our setup tonight. But we're going to hang on here. We got about 10 minutes, and we got a couple things we want to cover, and we're going to close the show out. We're getting all kind of things coming on. But you know what? We'll just hold up, and we got to pause in it. We're back with it. Thank you so much, everybody. Hold it on. We have a South Carolina High School ranking, football ranking. I'm going to run through the top four in certain class, equal up to the top 10 in the state of South Carolina. You have 4A, Class 4A, South Carolina High School ranking. You have Briars, number one in 4A. Goose Creek, number two in 2A. Number two in 4A. South Point is number three in 4A. Greenwood is number four in 4A. In Class 3A, you have Mirror Beach, number one. Hartville is number two. Daniel is number three. Vincent Horney Pass is number four. Also in 2A, you have Abbeville ranked number one. Dillon ranked number two. Silver Bluff ranked number three. Timberland ranked number four. Class 1A, you have Adderdale Fairflex, number one. Christ Church, number two. Jonesville, number three. And Cross is number four in the 1A. So those are mentioned. That 16 names that fall out. It is more like 12 that's ranked in the South Carolina High School ranking. For the state of Tennessee, and we try to make sure we give all of those rankings out, but this is their top 10. Number one is Oakland. They got 173 points. Number two is Ravenwood. They got 170 points. And number two, Maryville is number three, 156 points. Arcola is number four. They got 143 points. You have McCauley is number five. They got 142 points. We have Memphis University School, 137 points. Brentwood Academy, and a lot of people are aware of Brentwood over there close to Nashville, 133 points. Whitehaven, 131 points. Yeah, number seven is Brentwood. Tied. Number eight is Whitehaven. Then you also have Ellsworth with 131 points tied. Number eight. We flip-flop 8 and 9. They're going to make sure they do it. And number 10 is Knoxville Academy. So those are the top-ranked teams in the state of South Carolina as well as the state of Tennessee. We're going to bring you some scores next week as well as we're going to rank and find out some rankings in Mississippi and Louisiana. It's been awesome. You know, I see people joining on Facebook. I appreciate it. I just want to give a shout-out to those individuals like I always do, and I'm going to do that in a minute, but I want to let you know that our show tomorrow night, the Minister Shannon Show, and I see one of my co-hosts joining the line right now, and I appreciate him joining. We have Coach Romaine Edwards. I appreciate you joining me at this time, and I want to sort of like get a report. You can give a shout-out to the audience, and you can give us a report about what's going on in North Alabama. This is Coach Romaine King Edwards. How you doing, Coach Ray?
How y'all doing tonight, Coach Uncle Lowe? I'm here. We big time win, 24-8.
Okay. All right. Well, you tell us about it. Give us some thoughts about the middle school as well as some of the high school ball up in North Alabama.
We got a big time game on Friday. James Clements versus Huntsville. James Clements is 1-2. Coming off of two losses to Clay Chalkville and Grayson from Georgia. Huntsville High is 3-0. Coming in here, highly picked to win this game. But Dr. Smith, I'm gonna go with James Clements for the win.
Okay.
I think James Clements got enough to get him. But Dr. Smith, I'm sorry. I had ran into parents, not picking up the kids on time of this fight, but we had a great game tonight, baby. Glad to be here with you. Sorry I'm late, Dr. Smith.
We appreciate you having us, Ray. And what was the final score of your game?
24-8.
Congratulations, Chapman Middle School, for winning another one. I know the first week they played at an off week last week. They beat, what was the score in that first game y'all had? 70 and whatever, what the score was?
70-40.
70-40. So that's 110 points total in that game. Coach Faison was grinding up there. They're grinding hard in the middle school. That's Chapman Middle School in the Huntsville public school system. And they're playing their teams in that area, and they move toward the city, and they have a championship at the end of the year. So, Craig, we do appreciate you giving that report and sharing your thoughts on that. If any topic you had a chance to look at, you just want to share your thoughts, I do want to kind of allow you the opportunity to share some things about Alabama A&M and Arkansas Pine Bluff and see whether this loss will affect their themselves if they in the standings later on in the year. Get your thoughts on that.
Woo! Dr. Smith, that's all I can give you with that game there. We had to get out of there around the third quarter, Dr. Smith. It got away from us. Defensively, we a liability. We're not stopping anything. Offensively, I think the offense is okay. We had an injury to Jenkins. Jenkins got hurt on us. So when Jenkins got hurt, we kind of went down. But Pine Bluff, I don't know if it's for real, Dr. Smith, but them jokers look good against them. Hey, I ain't seen Pine Bluff look like this in a long time, since 06. I think that was 06 when we played them in the championship. Dr. Smith. Pine Bluff is like a contender. If we a contender, Pine Bluff is a contender. They look great.
All right.
Running the ball, passing the ball. Defensively, they look good. We have UNA this week, and we'll see how we bounce back. That's a big game. Now, my prediction on that one, I think UNA is going to blast us if we don't get this defense together. So I think we're going to this game. We'll be 1-2 afterwards. And that's all I got for them Bulldogs up here, Dr. Smith.
And I thank you, Trey, for giving us that. We do appreciate you running in and trying to give that last report. And we appreciate that because we needed to get that information about Alabama A&M as well as the game they played against Pine Bluff and what's coming up with UNA coming up this weekend. So our exciting weekend coming up for Alabama A&M, as well as we want to congratulate Coach Edwards on his team winning tonight as well. So I understand that. I've been a coach, and a lot of the individuals listening to this show played for me and understand that in middle school and high school. Sometimes when you have a coach, you have to wait there and make sure the children get home like they're supposed to. And whatever you have playing is not very important. You have to take care of that. But what I want to do as we close the show out, we got a lot of people that's on here, and I want to give them a shout out that's watching it on Facebook, starting off with Artavius Williams. Trey, you know that name, right? Artavius Williams.
Tune it.
You might be laughing at it right now, but Artavius Tootie Williams, he also a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity. I want to give them a shout out. Maria Encarnacho. I'm going to get that right. She's been listening, and she's probably blasting me right now. Bill, thank you for joining us as well. Miles Brown played for me at McKenzie, played football and basketball, and he served as the head coach and as well as the principal. Also, we have Denise Hayes Brown joining us, Pat Robinson, Dana Byers, she's a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I know you're dealing with some things, family. Medical situation, he's praying that everything works out for you all. Jennifer Edwards, she's watching as well. She's checking it out. She said, you're so welcome, brother, and happy, happy pre-birthday. I love you. Love you too, my girl. That's your mama, Trey.
Jen.
Coretta. Yeah, Jen. There you go. Coretta Barlow, which is a cousin, one of my cousins, first cousins, Lisa Maria Smith-Sherrod, Yolanda Pryor Anderson, Sierra Washington, E.M. Johnson, Charlie's Angel, Wanda Ware Franklin. You got just said Kinley Gulach. If I said right, Kinley, you can give me a call back to kind of straighten it up. I'm bumping the phone now. We have Charlie Angel, Ian Johnson, and two others are watching with you. Corey Peterson, Captain Peterson, Ralph H. Harris, another one of my frat brothers. Thank you, Ralph. Anthony Rudolph, McKenzie, played football and basketball for me down in McKenzie. Thank you, Anthony, for joining as well. And we have three or four of the same individuals that's teaming up. We have Charlotte Smith, she's watching. We have Brandon Kimbrough, remember another member of 580 Signal Fraternity, another one of the Pratt brothers. Thank you, Pratt. We have Melba Cole Wright joining us, and Portia Phoenix. Thank you, Portia, for joining us. So we had an awesome time. It's time to wrap this up for tonight. But check us out tomorrow night on the Ministry Standing Show. We got an outstanding topic for tomorrow night. And I want to make sure I give you a shout out, give them a shout out, because they'll be doing it. That show is hosted by Minister Shannon Kendrick People and co-hosted by Elder Kendall McKnight, and talk about the hottest daily issues that goes on in life. They're going to be, especially tomorrow, I want you to join us tomorrow. And the topic they're going to be, is it okay to ask the black man what he's bringing to the table on the first date? Is it okay to ask any man? Is it okay? We want your thoughts on that. Make sure you call in tomorrow, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We're going to have an awesome show. That's the Minister Shannon Show. Minister Shannon, Kendrick's People, is the host, the co-host, Elder Kendall McKnight. We also have Stephanie Chapman joining us as well. Thank you, Stephanie. So we have an awesome show. That's 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, Thursday night. Check us out. I'll be the producer, and I'll be on the board, making sure everything goes right. So we look forward to having an awesome time tomorrow night. Then Tuesday, we'll come back with our Dr. Lowe show. And we're going to look at that topic. Are you ready for a real relationship, part two? So we had some things we didn't finish last night. We're going to bring it again on, let me tell you, on next Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Central Standard Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Lastly, I want to give a shout out about, I'm going to shout out about our tour, the Real Relationship Tour. We're going to talk about relationship issues. We're going to be in Jonesboro, Georgia, and that's the Smith Way Production sponsoring this tour, presenting this tour, and we're going to start in Jonesboro at the Lake Spivey Golf Club, and you can be there and check it out. $15 in advance and $25 a day. So we have six to eight panelists who are going to discuss relationship issues. Are we going to talk about these issues we're talking about? All the issues we've talked about throughout with all our shows dealing with life issues, but dealing specifically with relationships, we're going to bring them before our body. The time of that show is 3 o'clock on Saturday. It's a Saturday, October 19th. It's a Saturday, 2019. October 19th. 2019, 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time to 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Check us out. We'll be in Jonesboro, Georgia. We're going to make it do what it do. It's been an awesome night. Trey, you want to share anything else before we get ready to close out? And we'll move from that point.
Glad to be here, Dr. Smith, with you. Glad to be here, man. I'm sorry I'm late, Dr. Smith. You got to hold it down, baby. Y'all hold it down. Have a great night.
All right, y'all. Everybody have an awesome night. Thank Coach Tremaine for joining us. It's so excited to have him, to rush in here while he's finishing with his football game. And he made sure he was a part of this show by giving him a big support. We want to give Boosie Malone, give you a shout out for joining us as well on Facebook. We have quite a few names, and we're glad those individuals took time to share with us, because it is exciting moment to be able to do this best to get the historical black college and university news out, sporting news out, high school sporting news, and middle school sporting news in the southeastern part of the United States. Now, it's time to do my hashtag. It's time to close this thing out. And before we move forward with anything, you know, before we can actually move on, we got to get ourselves together. Before we have a chance to let go, we have to make sure we work hard to do what we need to do. We're going to play some music we don't own the right to, but we're going to just play it because it ain't time to go, but we must go. Hashtag, keep on grinding. That's my hashtag. The second thing that I always try to focus on, hashtag, communicate for understanding. You got to be able to communicate for understanding. If you talk to me, listen to me, and I'm going to listen to you. So that's for understanding. And last but not least, I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. So what I'm going to ask you to do is have an awesome night, and I'm going to pull out some of this, like I said, and I said earlier, but I'm going to just smile. I'm going to smile. We don't own the rights to this song, but we want to play it anyway. Have an awesome night. We'll talk with you tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time.
We gon' start this thing off right. Duval in the money logging out. Come on, now come on. I'm living my best life. Ain't going back to fuck with you now. I'm living my best life.
To be smiling for. So what the f*** you be wildin' for? Come on, I get my grin on. I'm smiling, bitch, cause I always get my win on. I've been on so many different stages. Graced the cover of 100 magazine pages. Made people smile everywhere that I went. I even put it on the first black president. It's evident I'm hot as a crock pot. With a big ass smile like Mr. Hotspot. You got a lot to be smiling for. So what the f*** you be wildin' for? If you're breathing, you achieving. We having fun this evening, believe it.
I'm living my best life. Ain't going back to fuck with you now. I'm living my best life. Middle fingers up.